The main idea of what I would like to say, I heard many years ago from Ratzvi Meir Zilberberg, Shlita. But I brought other sources and elaborated, expanded on the idea. But the basic idea is from him. The Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush to Megillas Esther, in the first two chapters, goes to very, very great lengths to explain how every detail of what happened before Haman appears with his Gezeirah, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized all the events from the very beginning so that the Nes would be able to take place after the Gezeirah was made. The idea that all the events seem to be natural events, and when you look back at the end on everything, you understand that it all leads from one event to another, organized by the Reuven Shleim, that's well known. The Gaon is not saying that. The Gaon is saying more. When the Gezeirah of Haman came into place, when it came into effect, all the clockwork, the keys in the story that would be necessary to cancel the Gezeirah were already organized before the Gezeirah was made. One moshel, one example of what the Vilna Gaon says. It's quite startling if you've not thought about this before. Shushan never was the capital of Paras, of Persia. If you look into the Svarim that deal with this, they all say that the capital of Persia was Elam, a town in Persia. The Malchus was there, the kingdom was set up over there, the palace of the king was over there. What is Shushan doing in the Megillah story as the place of the palace of Ahasuerus? What's he doing in Shushan? Shushan Habira, Shushan the capital. It never was. Says the Vilna Gaon, Ahasuerus heard all about the beautiful throne of Shlomo HaMelech, and he was deeply jealous of it, and he wanted a replica made. Couldn't sit on the original. He knew about Melech Mitzrayim, who had to go at that and was struck by the lions and made lame, paranochei. So he was afraid to try and capture the throne. So he had artisans go over to where the throne was, study it, and make a replica. The artisans lived in Shushan. That was the town where the craftsmen were living. So they brought all of the materials to the place of their work and built an identical replica of the throne in Shushan. Ahasuerus had his capital in Elam, and he said, bring it over here. This is my palace, this is my capital. What's the use of having the throne in Shushan? It was so immense, it was so heavy, they had no means whatsoever to transfer the throne from Shushan to Elam. Ahasuerus was so set in having this throne, he says, I have no choice. We're going to move the entire ministry, the whole organization of the government. We're uprooting it all. We're moving the consulates, we're moving all the offices. Not just if he moves, what about all his ministers, the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Transport, all the ministries? He needs all of his hundreds and hundreds of servants and whatever. He says, Raboisai, we're moving the capital to Shushan. And he had a palace built in Shushan, and he moved over all the ministry over there in order that he can sit on the throne. They built the palace around the throne. It was so heavy, it couldn't be moved. Says the Gaon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized all of this, that the capital should move from Elam to Shushan. Why? Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan Abira u'Shmoi Mordechai. Since Mordechai lived in Shushan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see to it that all the events would be nearby, that Mordechai would know what's going on with all the plotting here and there. That's just one detail of the story. But the Vilna Gaon goes over and over with this theme through the first two parakim to show how everything was orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, that everything should be set in plan, ready for when the Gezeirah would be made. Mordechai would be there, Esther would be there, all the players in cancelling the Gezeirah would be available. This is based on a Gemara in Megillah, which says on the words in Peirat Gimel, Achar Advar Mu'ela, Gidal HaMelech Achshoresh Eshoma Ben Amdosa. What's Achar Advar Mu'ela? We know that the story unravels itself from one chapter to another. Why do we need to say Achar Advar Mu'ela? It doesn't say the beginning of each chapter, Achar Advar Mu'ela was this, Achar Advar Mu'ela was that. Superfluous words. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel, Omer Rava, Achar Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refua LaMaka. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already prepared the refuah for the Makkah, the medicine for the sickness, then we can allow Haman to make the Gezeirah. Because everything which is necessary to be mevatel the Gezeirah is already prepared. The Amar Reish Lakish, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makkah Es Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not smite Kelad Yisrael, Elem Kein Boirei Lehem Refuah Techila, unless the refuah is already in place beforehand. This procedure is not with the goyim. Makeh oison, HaKadosh Baruch Hu smites them, punishes them, brings affliction on them for their aveirois. V'achakach, if they're zoicha, boiru lehem a refuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares a refuah for their makeh. But Kelal Yisrael, the makeh is not brought until the refuah is ready beforehand. The Maharal, in his pirish on the Megillas Esther, called Or Chadosh, describes this in rather unusual words. This procedure, that by Kelal Yisrael, the refuah is before the Makkah, he says the following Loshon, which is very difficult to understand. He says, quote, Eitzel Yisrael, by Kelal Yisrael, ha-refuah siba el ha-Makkah. The refuah is the cause of the Makkah. Lochein hi koidem. There's a cause and an effect. The cause, the siba, is first, and after that is the effect, the mesuvav. So by Kelal Yisrael, the refuah is first because the refuah causes the makkah. But by Umos HaOlam, the makkah is first because the makkah is the cause of the refuah coming afterwards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the makkah, and if you've got makkah, you've got to have a refuah. So if a person is sick, you have to find some medicine for them, you have to find a refuah for them. What happens in the natural event of the person's life? He gets a sickness, he goes to the doctor and says, well, you need to take this medicine to have your refuah. The makkah is first and the refuah is second. But the events of life of Kelal Yisrael, the Maharal explains that the refuah is the cause of the makkah. Now, it's very, very difficult to understand what the words mean. The refuah causes the makkah. I remember, this is a drasha which I heard years and years ago. I remember that Ratzvi Maya said on this, a moshel, to not understand the Maharal. The moshel is how you would think these words of the Maharal mean. It sounds almost from the Maharal that the pshat is like this. A pharmaceutical company invests millions of dollars to create a certain type of a medicine. And they create the medicine after years of research, and they create the medicine, and now the medicine is ready in the pharmacies, and it's just sitting there, not being used by anybody. Not being used, because people are not sick. Chaval that is waiting there on the shelf and is not doing anything, till somebody is sick, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, I'm so happy you're sick! we've invested so much money in this refuah, and we don't know what to do with it until we have some sick people. Oh, I'm so glad you're sick. Now we can use the medicine here. It was kedai that we spent so many millions on this refuah for you. That's like saying the refuah caused the makkah. How do we understand this in Hashgacha? So the pshat is on the same lines that the Beis Halevi says. It's a famous piece of the Beis Halevi at the beginning of Parshas Miketz. Paro has a dream, and Yosef comes out of jail. So, in the Ramses Times, it says a headline: Paro's dream frees Jew boy. He wouldn't have got out if Paro wouldn't have had a dream. He's still stuck there. Thanks to Paro, had this dream, and nobody could interpret it. And there's this Jew boy in jail. He knows how to do dreams. So, he was lucky fellow, he got out of jail. But Chazal say the opposite. The 2 years that was destined for Yosef to stay in jail finished. It was decreed on him a gezerah to be 2 years in prison. The 2 years are up. Therefore, Paro choleim. Therefore, Paro had a dream. The end of the sentence of Yosef is what caused Paro to have his dream, not the other way around. We look at events in a tevadika way. We haven't got used to the Torah eyes that looks at everything backwards. Here's a person that is not so wealthy. A friend gives him some advice. You know, invest your money in such and such an investment. It's very popular. It's doing very well. I think you'll do well with it. He invests the money and he becomes a millionaire. Boy, he says to himself, what good advice that was. Happy that I took that advice. Because I invested my money in that company, I became a millionaire. Koifer that you are. That's not the right pshat. The Ribbono Shel Olam decreed on Rosh Hashanah that you should become wealthy this year, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu put it into the mind of your friend to advise you to invest it. Your wealth caused the advice that you should invest the money in that company. This is the pshat in the Maharal. When Maharal says that the refuah is created before the makkah, meaning that the refuah causes the makkah, the pshat is, Klal Yisrael do aveiros. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish them. He doesn't really want to punish them. He'd rather not punish them. He wants to arouse them to do tshuva. So he's got to dig them, to persuade them to do tshuva. So he brings gezeiros on them. The gezeiros are only a means to the refuah for the chet. The refuah for the chet is the tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the tshuva. The tshuva which Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for as the tikkun for the chet, the tshuva is the cause of the gezeira. The makkah is the gezeira. The refuah is Klal Yisrael being misoira to do tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. He wants to arouse them that they're doing aveiros. They're bowing to the Tzelem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. They're being nana from the Suda of Achashverosh. Whatever the gezeira, whatever the aveira is, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Klal Yisrael to wake up from his aveiros and do tshuva. The tshuva which Kadosh Baruch Hu desires is the sibo, is the cause of the gezeiros of the makos. That's the pshat in the Maharal. Rasumai brought a beautiful story. Chassidish Rebbe, the Rebbe of Lechavitch. His name was Ramodcha, Ramodcha of Lechavitch, Ramotl of Lechavitch, one of the Chassidish Rebbe's. Lived in Europe. He desired for many, many, many years to have a talis cotton made from wool from Eretz Yisrael. He saved up money over the years to be able to buy wool from Eretz Yisrael, to be able to make a woolen talis cotton. Well, to cut a long story short, he saved up all of his money and he sent messengers to Eretz Yisrael to buy the wool, and they brought the wool back to where he lived, and he had professionals weave it in order to make a beged of a talis cotton. And they made this beautiful beged, white wool and blue wool. It was a beautiful talis cotton. All that was necessary to do now at the end was to make a hole for the head. Then they wove it as a complete solid beged. Have to have a hole to be able to put it over your head. And that the weavers didn't do. So he gave the talis, which was absolutely outstandingly beautiful. He was quelling, he had so much nachas from it. He gave it to his trustworthy shamash. And he says, I'd like you to have a share in this mitzvah. I give you the honor of cutting a hole. Well, because he was so nervous about getting it right, he made a big error, and he cut a hole while the talis was folded, and ended up having two holes. Two holes. So you can imagine how nervous he was when he had to go into the Rebbe and present the talis cotton to him. He'd rather fall through the floor, he'd rather run away, but he wrapped it up and had to present it to the Rebbe. And he stammers as he presents it. The Rebbe is smiling there, and his heart is thumping away. What's he going to say to him? And he opens the package, and he presents the talis to the Rebbe, and doesn't know what to say. And the Rebbe Lechavish, Rav Mordechai Lechavish, says, you don't have to be upset at all. There have to be two holes in my talis cotton. There have to be two holes. It's beautiful. The Shamashir is so relieved. Phew, he thought he'd knock him on the head and drag him out forever. And Ramotl of Lechovich says, I'll explain to you why there have to be two holes. One hole is to put my head through. And the other hole is to test me whether I'm going to lose my temper. And I'm not going to lose my temper. So Ratzvi Maya says, what's the pshat in this story? Pshat is like this. A big tzaddik is not going to get angry on little things, trivial things that bother us. You know, when we fly off a handle, we complain if the supper's not ready on time. Where's the supper? And I'm starving. You know, little things disturb us. We can get angry easily. A tzaddik is not so easy to get angry on anything. But the Rebbeinu wanted that he should perfect himself in the midst of chaos, so he had to organize a scenario to occur that would be a tremendous test for him in chaos, to see whether he would be able to pass the test of chaos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into his mind that he would like to have a talis from Eretz Yisrael. And he put into his mind that he should save the money for that. And he put into his mind that Hishamash should be the one who makes the hole. And he put into his mind on the Shabbos to make a mistake, to make a hole. And now he's facing this tremendous nisoyon of chaos. And he passed the test. The pshat is that the events of life that we face are planned by the Ribbono Shel Olam for our needs. When things don't work out and we get upset, we fail the test because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put so much effort into creating that scenario as a trial for you, and you failed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to pass this test. All the nisyonos of life that come up are preordained by the Ribbono Shel Olam, just like the story of Purim. It's all planned, as the Gaon says, in order that Klal Yisrael should be able to do tshuva. So, in the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plans events of life that we should have the opportunity to do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares events of life for every individual that he should be able to grow from the situation, to overcome his chaos, to overcome his kinah, to overcome his laziness. It's not that when we're faced with a nisoyoin, so therefore we have to react accordingly. It's not the nisoyoin which is the cause of our reaction. It's our reaction which causes the scenario to occur. We get everything back to front. Because we don't make so much money, so we think, this is such an assignment for us. And what are we going to do? We'll have to scrimp and save, we'll have to ask for tzedakah from people. because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to have the Nisayon, therefore he makes sure that you don't earn so much money. It's the Nisayon which is the cause of the situation. Imagine a Novi would come to you at the beginning of the day and it would say to you, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, you're going to have a tremendous Nisayon of Kas. Be ready for it. So when the situation would arise, we'd be able to pass the test. Because we know this is going to happen. The trouble is that we don't know the Nisayon is going to happen till afterwards. At the end of the day, we'll always, I failed that Nisayon. I shouldn't have lost my temper over there. But it was a Nisayon. If we would know in advance, it would make life much easier. But we don't know till afterwards. The Chasam Sofer says, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk. You'll be able to see me from behind, but you won't want to see me at the front. So one of the Pshatim, the Chasam Sofer says, is that it's only after the Nisayon we can look back and say, did we pass it or did we not pass it? We don't know in advance what Nisayon is going to bring us each day. But we have to be prepared for Nisayon to come into life. This Yisoid appears many, many times in Chazal, that we look at things the wrong way round. For example, in Tefillah, I once brought a famous Rabbeinu Bechaya, the beginning of Toldos. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the Pasuk that talks about Rivka being Akora, being barren, and therefore they davened. Because Rivka was barren, so Yitzchak and Rivka stood in the corner and they davened for a child. Rabbeinu Bechaya says the Pasuk is written in a very strange way. It says, Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem Anoichach Ishtoi Ki Akora Hi. Yitzchak and Rivka davened for the child because she was barren. Rabbeinu Bechaya says you would have expected the Pasuk to write it the other way round. Rivka was Akora Vismalalu Yitzchak and Rivka. Because she was barren, therefore they davened. The Pasuk puts the davening first and the fact that she was barren second. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, to teach you that it was the tefillos that the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted. And the tefillos were a cause of her being barren. When a couple are childless, so they have to go and that. So they look around for all sorts of refuahs. They forget about the Rabbeinu Shalom for the first few years. They go to the doctor here and this organization over here to see why they're not having children. Oh, and they can't find any solution, then they daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So they think that because they're barren, therefore they have to daven. No, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants the tefillos. Because the Kishroch wants the tefillos, therefore he makes them childless. It's the tefillos that cause the childlessness, not the other way around. And everything in life is that way. The tzoros that we have is in order we should daven. But it's not because we're in trouble, therefore we have to daven. It's not that way around. Because the Kishroch wants us to daven, it brings us gezeiros, it brings us tzoros, in order to push us into the tefillah. The story of the Megillah teaches us to start looking at things in life the other way around. What we think is the result is really the beginning. It's really the cause of everything. This beautiful sefer to be mitchazek on tefillah is called Hischazkus b'tefillah l'Hashem. It's a collection of all sorts of vortim on tefillah. And he says this on Peirut Chof Beis of Esther. On this Peirik itself, he says, this Yisoid on the Shir Shal Yom of Purim. Keili Keili Loma Zavtoni. That's the second Pasuk of Peirik Chof Beis. Esther is crying out, Rabbeinu Shalom, why have you deserted us? Shleibo had Shua Adayin, the Shua is not yet here. Rochok Mishuasi Divrish Agosi. You're far away from the Yeshua. Elokai Ekro Yomon Veloisane, I call out by day, you haven't answered me. Velaila Ludumi Oli, and my night, and you haven't answered me. Hatam Lechol Zeh, why have the Tefilois not yet brought the Yeshua? Because of the next Pasuk, Vata Kodosh Yoshev Tehilois Yisrael. So it has a beautiful title of this Pasuk. Yoshev can mean waiting. Waiting for something to happen. Sitting and waiting for something to happen. Why has the Yeshua not yet come? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called V'at HaKadosh Yeshev Tehillos Yisrael. Yeshev Loshen Metzapeh Umamtin. Sheyesh Lecha Shashuim Mitehillos Yisrael. You HaKadosh Baruch Hu haven't brought the Yeshua yet because you love our Tefillos. Sheyarbu Oid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to daven more and more. Diburim Haru'iyim Uritzim Lefonecha. Why has the Yeshua not come? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves our Tefillos. Like Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misavah Tefillos Shel Tzadikim. The Yeshua hasn't come because we haven't davened. We think we're in trouble, we've got Yeshua, we've got Corona, and we can't make a parnosa and everything. So we better daven to Rabbeinu Shleilam. No, the Rabbeinu Shleilam wants the tefillos, and therefore he brings the gezeirois. We always look at things the wrong way around. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Yeshev Tehillos Yisrael. This is the pasuk from Esther. This is the pasuk of Purim. Why do we say this after the Megillah reading? In order to teach us that this is the Yisoid of Purim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Tefillos. In order to squeeze the Tefillos out of us, he brings us very problems, gezeiros, difficulties. We should realize that all the matzavim that we are in on Yisoid is for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is prodding us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is pushing us to tshuva. He's pushing us to tefillah. And if we use the prodding in the right way, that we'll realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants tefillah, he wants tshuvas from us, that will cause the gezeira to go away.